Well, go ahead and turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 4. We're going to maybe finish this morning our study of this four things that you find from Colossians on the whole idea of sharing our faith. And there are four key things that sort of stood out in the passage, beginning at verse 2. 3, 4, 5, 6. It gives us some things there. We've been seeing them. You should have two handouts. One is the light green one, which is the one we've had all this time. And then the blue one, which we gave out last week, that you on one side talks about how to present the gospel and gives us the one called Sin, Salvation, Good News, God's Good News Story. And then on the other side, we call it the bridge. And we're going to see a little bit more on that. There, we're just looking at different ways of sharing your faith. And one of the keys to the whole thing is you need to have a method, a clear method. Not just any method, because there's a lot of methods out there that are very unclear on the gospel message. But you need to have a clear method on how to present the gospel so that people can, you can be confident and people can know. Well, let's begin with prayer and then we'll get into it and answer any questions, go through anything. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great, great morning. Thank you for each one that is here. Thank you for the cinnamon rolls and thank you for everything you do for us, Lord. It's just beyond comprehension of how you love us beyond we could imagine. Lord, you know that the goal and dream that we have for each other is that we would be confident in telling others about you. We know it's a spiritual battle and we know it's a scary thing, but Lord, we know that you have given to us your word, your message, a clear message, a message of grace, that we offer to people the eternal life message. And so Lord, may we be ready to do that. Would you encourage us, Lord, and would we pray for people? Would we have confidence? Would we have our methods? Would we know how to answer people? Would we just be ready to give an answer to everyone for the hope that is within us? So Lord, we just ask you even now that you would teach us as we do this. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you remember in Colossians chapter 4, we decided that there were four key things we wanted to look at, four keys to sharing our faith. In that passage, talked about praying for the opportunities. And we said, put down people's names, get you a little prayer book, pray for people that you come in contact with, whether you know, you don't know whether they're a Christian, you know they're not a Christian, whatever. Pray that you'd have an opportunity to share your faith. Know the message, know the gospel, the death and resurrection of Christ. Know the response, which is faith in Christ for eternal life. And we said, be ready in that. Then live wisely in relationship to unbelievers. We talked about lifestyle. We talked about our message. We talked about it's both words and deeds and know the culture, know the people, all those things. And then know how to respond. In fact, that's the verse we're on where he says, this is verse 6. Let your speech always be with grace as though seasoned with salt so you will know how you should respond to each person. So the bottom line there was, know how to respond. And I told you the story of the football guy in college who locked everybody in the room and wouldn't let them out until they trusted Christ. And of course he got in fights and sometimes people just said, okay, I would say I trusted Christ just to get him out of my room, things like that. That's not how we want to do it. We want to know how to respond. 1 Peter 3:15, we want to be ready to give an answer to everyone for the hope that is within us. And this is such a key thing because I think every one of us in this room would be excited if we said, I can pretty confidently tell people about Christ and I know where to go in the Bible. I know what verses to use. I know how to talk with them. I know how to keep it on the focus of the message of who Jesus is and what he has done and faith in him, all of those kind of things. So there's some great things there. We've been talking about some methods. I think if you're almost to the last of the book or of our little study. We're right on the page that actually says application and we got methods of sharing your faith. That's where we are. And there it is on this handout, methods of on our overhead, methods of clearly presenting the gospel, sin and salvation, bridge and testimony. There's number of ways. There are tracts that people use. The only thing I tell you is make sure that it's very clear because I get tracts in the mail all the time. People saying, why don't you buy this tract for your church? And I look at it and it's a very unclear message. It's a message of works oftentimes. It's telling people they've got to be willing to give up things, turn away from sin, be willing to offer their lives to God, be willing to serve him, be making this commitment to him. And that's not the gospel message and that's not the response. So if you're going to use a tract or something, make sure it's very clear. We have some tracts that we use in the church as a whole that if you would like to, get some, we'll give them to you. Last time we talked about sin and salvation, we used that idea and this blue sheet we talked about, as you talk to people, one of the things you do is as you move it around to spiritual things, and that's just between you and God and how you can do it and how you relate to people. And I think a good question to ask is, if you were to die, would you go to heaven? Most people aren't threatened by that, and a lot of people answer. Sometimes they say yes, sometimes they say no, sometimes they say I hope so, sometimes they say I don't know. We said that what you want to do is when they give you an answer, if it's something like I don't know, I hope so, or I don't think so. You can always say, would you like me to show you from the Bible how you can know for sure you have eternal life? Sometimes they say yes, and I don't think it's offensive, although it could be offensive to people if they say yes, I think I'm going, and you say, why? And you don't have to ask it like, why? Why do you think you're going? You could ask it like, what's your basis? What are you trusting in order to make sure you have eternal life? You want to say it in such a way that it's not offensive to a person, that you're asking them, what are they trusting then? Because if a person tells you they're going to heaven, and you say, well, why? Tell me why so I can know. And it's not offensive. I remember that one time I had a good friend. He was witnessing with this guy, and he was a guy he worked with, and he started telling me, he said, tell me, if you were to die, would you go to heaven? The guy said, yes, I would. And he said, would you tell me why? He says, that's a very personal thing just between me and God. And my friend was very wise, and he said, well, listen, if you do have the answer to go to heaven, why don't you tell me? If it's that personal, if you think you know how to go to heaven and it's between you and God, why don't you tell me what he's told you on how to go to heaven? You see, that idea of like it's just personal between me and God says, but nobody else can know about it. It's the greatest message of all. We looked last time about what we call the gospel, the sin and salvation, the good news, bad news. We talked about the problem. And if you remember, we said, you start and you only have to know four verses, Romans 3:23, 6:23, Romans 5:8, and then Ephesians 2:8-9. But there are other verses there that you can use. We use the whole idea that we remind people in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We give the illustration of throwing a rock across the Grand Canyon. Nobody can do it. Some people throw better than others, but nobody can do it. Just like of all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Some people are better than others, but nobody, I'm talking about worldly comparison, but nobody's as good as God. So we get people to admit right off that they've sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then we tell them Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. The payment for sin. And we use the illustration of car wash or wash a car. And we're basically saying, yeah, if you wash my car, I'll give you $5. So what do you earn by washing the car? $5. What do you earn when you sin? Because the wages of sin is, and it's death. And so you get people to realize that they've all sinned, and most everybody will admit they've sinned. And then you get them to realize that the wages of sin is death. I told you in my life that I knew that we'd all sinned. In fact, I believed as long as you did more good than bad, you could go to heaven. So every time I did a bad, I did good. When I got stuck in that Bible study and couldn't get out, and the person started going through the plan of salvation, he said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I said, yeah, I know that. Everybody's done that. I've sinned. And then he said, wages of sin is. And before he could even say it, my mind said, wages of sin is good. You do a bad, you do a good. But he didn't say that. He said, wages of sin is death. And for the first time in my life, I realized all the good I'd ever done couldn't even pay for one bad, because the payment for sin is not good works. The payment for sin is death. In fact, what's the righteousness of man? What's the good works of man? It's what? Filthy rags. It doesn't add up, and I didn't know that. And so then as you take them and you say, you've sinned and you'll God death. Yeah, that's a problem, isn't it? Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Well, what are you going to do about it? Sometimes I say, what are you going to do? Because you sin and you owe God death. I've had people say, well, I'm going to try to live a good life. I said, well, the wages of sin is not good life. Well, I'm going to try to go to church. Wages of sin is not going to church. Well, from this moment on, I'm going to try to do what God wants me to do. I said, obedience to God doesn't save you. In that sense of what about your sins? So we say that there is a good news. There is a solution to this. And that is part one. We talked about this last week, that Jesus Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. God demonstrates his love toward us while we're yet sinners. Christ died for us. You tell him the story of how Jesus came, became a substitute, died in our place, paid for our sins, rose again. I've even got 1 Corinthians 15, the illustration of substitute, whether you want to use it in any way, shape, or form. I'll sometimes use it like sports. You're in the game. Somebody comes and takes your place. They are your what? Despite everybody says, well, they're your substitute, came in and took your place. That's what Jesus did. You owe God death. You're going to be separated. What did Jesus do? He came and took your place. Last but not least, you say, and the good news gets even better. Listen to this. You can be saved by faith. Salvation is by faith. It's a gift. Ephesians 2:8-9, Acts 16:31. It's faith in Christ. We give them the illustration of a gift where they talk about the fact that what do you pay for a gift? Nothing. It's a gift. It's given to you. In fact, if you have to do something for it, it's no longer a gift. So this is a good way. And then at the end, sometimes it will raise the question now, is there anything stopping you from trusting in Christ? I sometimes will say, do you believe that Jesus Christ gives you eternal life? Are you trusting Christ for eternal life? Because that's the offer. He says, whoever believes in me will not perish but have what? Everlasting life. So you believe in Christ for what? Eternal life. That you're trusting him for eternal life. And let me tell you this. Sometimes people will say things, you need to pray this prayer. Be careful. You want to make sure that people don't think the prayer is a part of the salvation. Prayer is not part of the salvation. In fact, probably by the time you're praying, you already believed. in him for eternal life. What I tell people is, I say, do you believe that Jesus Christ gives you eternal life? And they say, yes. I say, you have eternal life. Isn't that true? Is that true or not? Is it that easy? Are you sure? Yes, it is that easy. Then sometimes I'll say, let's do this. Why don't you pray thanking God for giving you eternal life? Because sometimes when people pray, it's like it's that moment. They remember that time. And so I want to say to them, why don't you pray? Let's just pray right now. You pray. Thank God that he has given you eternal life. So it's not pray to God to get eternal life as if the prayer has anything to do with it. It's praying to God, thanking him that he has given you eternal life simply as a gift by faith. Now, it is that simple. Now, let me tell you one other thing before we get to the Romans 6:23 and the little thing we're going to put up on the bridge. When you're talking to people about salvation, the issue really isn't their sin. Now, we may talk about that they've sinned and oh, God did. But the issue isn't whether smoking, drinking, committing this, doing that. That's not the issue for eternal life. The issue for eternal life is what? It's believing in Christ. Because if you said, you need to get away from that sin, what if they got away from that sin? Does that save them? No, the issue when you're talking to people is, what will they do with Jesus Christ? Will they believe in him for eternal life? If you remember in the story of where Jesus saw the woman at the well, you remember it was noon, it was dusty and hot, and all the guys were there. Jesus came up to the well, Jacob's well, there's the woman. He sent the men in, they all went in to get some food, and he's going to stay and talk to this woman. Now, noontime was not when women went and got water. They got water early in the morning or late in the evening. Why is she out there getting water by herself at noon? She was what? Well, she was a Samaritan, but there were a lot of Samaritans there. So what was the reason why she was by herself? Huh? Well, she was living with a man. That's right. And she had how many husbands already? At least four or five. Said the four other husbands you had, you know, and then the fifth one you got here is you're not even married to him. Everybody in that town knew that. She was ostracized from the other women. So she would go get water when nobody else was there. So when Jesus starts talking to her, she does the typical thing that a lot of people do. Because you'll start talking to them about Christ and how he died on the cross, and somebody will look at you and go, yeah, but what about that Jonah and the whale thing? That has nothing to do with what we're talking about. What did she say? She said, you Jews say you worship in Jerusalem. We say we worship at this mountain here. He says, that's not the issue. And she brought up another thing, and he said, that's not the issue. He kept bringing her back to the living water. So when you share your faith, don't get off of the issue. The issue is, will they believe in Christ for eternal life? That's the issue. And they may start up and talk about, well, you know, some people say over in Genesis, and you say, well, you know, that's really good stuff, but that's not what we're talking about right now. And try to keep going back to the issue of, will they believe in Christ for eternal life? That's the key. Because they could get you off on talking about Jonah or the first, or the, were the days of Genesis literal days or not? And was there two Isaiahs or three Isaiahs or one Isaiah? And how come all the Gospels are a little bit different? And I mean, you know, you could get off on all that. And every one of those can be answered. Yes.
There's many different religions that within the realm of Christianity, they say they're Christians, but there's different religions. They believe different things.
Okay.
Okay, so when you have someone who says, I believe Jesus was the Son of God, he's our Savior or whatever, but they have all these other beliefs. Now, some people get very confused of whether or not that they are, truly Christians because of, and I know...
Because all the other stuff, yeah.
Because of all the other stuff. And what defines a cult?
Well, when you said religions, here's what the best I can understand. A cult is someone that deals with Christ, says they're connected with Christ, basically says they're Christians, but they're not. That's a cult. A false religion is someone who has something that worships but not necessarily deal with Christ, like Buddha or Islam or something. So that's a religion. But a cult, usually, it defines a cult as someone who somehow uses Christ or connects with Christ, but doesn't have the truth of the Bible. The Mormons would say, we believe in Jesus Christ. If you read the writings of Joseph Smith and Brigham Young, Jesus of the Mormons was born of Adam God, Virgin Mary in Jerusalem, and married to somebody. Had three wives, in fact, according to the teachings of Joseph Smith. So it's a different Jesus. So that gets a little confusing sometimes when you deal with people. But the bottom line is you want to stay on the issue of Jesus, who is the Son of God, who came to the earth, who died and rose again, and you trust in Him for eternal life. There are groups, there are people that believe in Christ for eternal life, and then they're in groups or organizations that have so much junk that they're so confused that later on you start talking to them, you can't even tell whether they're a Christian or not. And they don't even know sometimes. So there are people who are Christians who don't even know they're Christians anymore. They think they've lost their salvation or that they have to do other things now. And then there are people who think they're Christians and they're not. Well, what you do is you're talking to someone and you're going to tell them how they have eternal life. And if they start bringing up issues of this, say, well, let's just go back. Let's just make sure we stay with the Bible because that's the key. And go to the verses or the places, the 1 Corinthians place or the Acts 16 place or the Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 place or those to keep going back to faith in Christ for eternal life. What some think, you know, this is where you have knowledge that if you're talking to a person and you know that they are in a group that has a different Jesus or a total different message, and they would say to you, oh, I already believe all this. And you say, well, let's go, let's make sure we understand. And you may have to correct some, but we're really talking now about sharing your faith with somebody who doesn't know Christ. But there are times you're going to mix it up, so to speak, with people who hold a different views. And you've got to be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within you. Not argumentative, but in a loving way, present what you see from God's Word. Because the Word of God doesn't say that Jesus was born of Adam, God, and Virgin Mary. It says He was born of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary. And the Bible doesn't say He was born in Jerusalem. The Bible says He was born in Bethlehem. So it's a total, that's a total different Jesus. And when you have a group that says Jesus is not God, there's a Jehovah God, but Jesus is not the God. He's a God. You have to go and show that Jesus, the Father, you know, you go to 10:30. I and the Father are one. If you see me, you've seen the Father. I'm the way, the truth, the life. You go to those things if you're having to deal with those people. But primarily, we're just talking about you've come in contact with somebody, you love them, and you share your faith with them. You get to tell them. All right, now let me show you this. Let me give you, if you flip this thing over, there's a thing called the bridge. And this is a good one because this is visual. Some people are real visual and they have to see things. So we're saying you're talking to somebody and you say to them, you know, if you were to die, would you go to heaven? And they go, gosh, I hope I do. And you say, would you like me to show you from the Bible how you can know for sure that you have eternal life? And they say, I certainly would. I would like for you to show me. So you say, here, let's get a piece of paper and I'm going to draw something. I'm going to draw this kind of block on this side and this block on this side. And then you write out, don't put the word bridge, but you write out, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ the Lord. You write out the verse, Romans 6:23, and you say, let's look at this one verse just for right now, and we're going to talk about it, and let's look what this verse says. And so as you read the verse, you write in these blocks, like the very first thing you say, for the wages. And so you put the word wages in that block, and you say, by the way, we're on this side. This side is us. This side is God. We want to get to God. What does this say? It says for the wages. Now, when you see wages, you say, what is wages? And you explain to them, wages is something you earn. You could use the illustration of the car wash. But what you're saying is wages are something you earn. Then you go on and say, for the wages of sin. And you write the word sin. And you say, now, sin has wages. You know, whenever you sin, and then you say, you know what sin is? Yeah, it's anytime you do something wrong. You've done something wrong. Oh, yeah, everybody's done wrong. Yeah. Well, the wages of sin is what? What's next? It's death. And so you tell them, now this is us. You've sinned, right? Well, what do you owe God? Well, they have to say, well, death. So the wages of sin is death. And then you say, but, you'd put the but there and say, but here's a contrast. Look, whoops, we've been doing too fast. But the gift, and you talk about what a gift is. What is the gift? You know, and you say, gift is something you don't earn. Something, it's just something given to you. The gift of God, this is God's gift to you, is what? It's eternal life. And you say, now on our side, we've sinned and we owe God death. But on God's side, He's got the gift of eternal life for us. How in the world do we get across that? How do we get from one side to the other? This verse tells us it is through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then there's some verses you can use. Romans 5:8, God demonstrates His... Okay, who is that? Was that Jim Ellis? Who did that? What, they think we don't stop on time? Is that the deal? We're not stopping just for that. Now, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, and it's through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we talk about Christ being, and you put your faith in Christ. You know, Romans 5:8, Ephesians 2:8 and 9, 1 Peter 3:18, any of those verses. But what happens, it's a visual thing where a person says, okay, here I am, here God is, and the way I get to God is through Jesus Christ. That's just one method. Yes. That's a great point. She says, what do you say when you say this is all from the Bible? And they say, yeah, all this is from the Bible, but I think the Bible is just a book that some people wrote. I don't believe it's God's word. What you do is you continually say, whether you believe it or not, it is still God's word. And this is what the Bible says. So you don't have to change. You just say, but I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says. But I don't believe the Bible. That's okay. I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says. Because here's the key. You remember what we said about the Bible? What is it? It's alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Never comes back void. Always accomplishes the purpose. It's the truth. It's going to affect people the way God wants it to affect them. Now, it may not affect them that day in the way that you would want, but God's working in their life. So I say, even if they say, I don't believe all this, I say, yeah, I know. That's okay. Let me just tell you what it says. And I just keep going. Because you have the Word of God, and it's what's alive and powerful. And it will touch their life one way or the other. It will touch their lives. So that's a great point, because let's say this. You could say, I don't believe the Bible. Okay, well, I do. Well, we can't talk then. Truthfully, but you got to say, you know, whether you do or not, let me just show you what it says. And that's what I do. I just stay with it. There's a third way, and I know we've got just a few minutes, but there's a third way of sharing your faith, which I think, can we go back to that other slide, the big three that showed the three? Yeah, the third one is a testimony, and that's where you tell how you came to know Christ as Savior. You want to be very clear. I'm working with some of my guys on Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, and some of our interns. We're just going through all that, and the goal is to be very clear on presenting the gospel. You use giving your testimony, you use that as an opportunity to share your faith. There's one other thing that is very, very simple, that instead of saying, you know, people say, well, I got to memorize Romans 6:23 and the verses that go with it and these kind of things. I got to memorize Romans 3:23, 6:23, 5:8, Ephesians. That's true. But there is a verse everybody knows. What is that verse? John 3:16. And you know what you could say to them? You can use that, and you can say right directly to them, let me show you this. Here's a famous verse. You probably know this verse. And they go, yeah, I know that verse. I know that verse. Let's look what it says. For God, that's God, right? So loved the world. Who's the world? That's you. That's you and me. That's God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now, who is his only begotten? That's Jesus. What did he mean he gave him? He gave him to come to earth. And you explain. He came to the earth. He became a person to die on the cross. And you can talk about the fact that we've all sinned. And that's why God would send his son to come into the world. Now, not everything's in the verse, but the key things are in the verse. So you say, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. And then you say, now watch what this goes on to say. That whosoever what? Believes. And explain to them, believe is being assured of something. Believing is you know, taking God at his word. Whosoever believes in him will not what? Perish. And perish means to be separated from God, but have what? Everlasting life. See, what's the offer? Eternal life. So if you know John 3:16, you can just open to that one verse and share your faith. Quit ringing that bell. Right? I bet they open that door and stick it down. I bet he does. Anyway, but so you can just use one verse. Well, let me get to the end here. We've got applications, I believe, is what's next. Okay, applications. Let me throw this stuff out. We're going to take the time to do this, but just very, very quickly. We've talked about that we're debtors. Romans 1:14, we're debtors to share our faith. If we knew that we had something that could cure some kind of disease or something like cancer, wouldn't we be sharing it with everybody? We've got the cure for sin. So four things as far as, the first one it's not the four things I have here, but anyway. I've got pray for opportunity. Our big four that we go back. That's not the applications for this. That's for something else. That's not for this morning. Here's the four things you can write in. Number one, pray for the opportunities. This takes us back to the thing. These are the four things that we know from the beginning. Pray for the opportunities. I'm not quitting. Pray for the opportunities. Let me tell you this. John and Diane Frank used to be in our church years and years and years ago, back when the church had 30 people in it. They they went with Campus Crusade for a while after they graduated from college over to Europe, and they went in. Let me see. I've written down where they were. I forgot. They went to Bulgaria, and they went to a university. And what they were going to do is go in and talk to the vice president on the campus to see if they could do a survey. They took in, and all the person wasn't there, but the secretary was there, and they had this memo. Well, the secretary took it, put the memo up, and the memo said, American students looking for Bulgarian students to talk about God. People signed up all over the place. They were just going in to get permission to see if they could even do something, and the secretary took it, and it turned out to be a memo going out to the whole university that people could come. You never know what God's going to do, so just pray for the opportunities that'll do that. Number two is know the message. Know the message, the gospel. Yeah, those we can put those four back up. Know the message. Number three, live wisely in the relationship with unbelievers. And last but not least, know how to respond. Be ready to give an answer to everyone for the hope that's in us. Okay, is that okay? Are we through? I guess the bell, they're telling us to get out. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just love you, and we love the privilege of sharing our faith. And so, Lord, we just pray, number one, that we'll have opportunities to share our faith. Number two, Lord, we'll pray that we'll know the message very clearly. Number three, Lord, that we'll live wisely in a fallen world, making the most of our time, and that we'll know how to respond. That we'll have different methods that we can share our faith, whether somebody's visual or whether we just want to tell them something or use John 3:16 or give our testimony, that each one will be ready, Lord, to give an answer for the hope that is within us. Thank you, Lord, for this body. Thank you for this Sunday school class. Use us, Lord, to share our faith. And I pray that maybe this week, Lord, you would choose to give us in this room, each one of us, an opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus. May that happen, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.